Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello again and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Spokane's a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. We specialize in high volume and low margins on all forms of precious metals, rare coins. We're always buying and selling collections. We offer the highest rated depository service in the Northwest. We're high volume buyers of all types of gold, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds. If you know anybody that's selling that stuff, folks, keep them away from the pawn shops and the jewelry shops. Everybody thinks jewelry shops, they're pretty. I've got jewelry. They've got to be fair. They're not gold brokers. There was a Better Business Bureau secret shopper about a month ago that was published in the paper. We came in right on top, and the Better Business Bureau contacted us, asked us to join, become an accredited member, and apparently had their most pleasant experience at our place out of 12 locations. But the other issue there was jewelry stores and pawn shops were near the bottom. And I'm talking jewelry stores were just way down there. Now, why is that if they deal in jewelry? The reason is because it's the retail mentality. In retail business, companies make double or triple their profit. It's not uncommon for people to come in with diamond rings they've purchased and, you know, when they want to find out what it is, they find out we're the high buyer. Unfortunately, we get to be the bearer of bad news sometimes, explaining to people that their hope of having an investment is gone with the wind. I mean, you don't go into a retail store and buy a retail product and expect it to be a good investment. It's just not the case. They mark things up considerably. In precious metals, we specialize in very, very low profit margins. Literally, folks, without exaggerating, I think that our business is probably the lowest margin business I've ever heard of. I don't care what else it is. I've never heard of any other business that literally operates on a few small percentage points. And it gets down to the point where on silver or something, we'll be negotiating over 10 cents an ounce on 1,000 ounces, which at that volume on 1,000 ounces of silver, 1,000 ounces at $21 silver costs $21,000, 10 cents an ounce is another $100. But that's literally the levels we operate at, and there's just no other business that operates at those kinds of margins. And it's that same philosophy that's the reason that we got into diamonds. When we opened when we built our building about 8 years ago, we really wanted to offer the consumer a really good resource for diamonds. And so we started to do that, and we really believe we offer one of the best opportunities in diamonds. The problem is a lot of people still just won't believe the markups are as bad as they are. And if that's the case, I can't help you. But I'll just tell you, if you or someone you know is out there dealing in diamonds or selling jewelry, you know, shop around and get our numbers last. Come and see us. You know, you'll see what I mean. And it is an important factor. And it's also important to us that you give us an opportunity to have your business. I mean, we appreciate it. We're Christian owned and operated. You guys have heard probably a lot of the jokes about the Spokane consumer, supposedly the tightest, most frugal, and sometimes grumpiest consumer in the United States. And, you know, I've seen people that they're Christian. They don't even respect a Christian business. They'll do business wherever. And that's your choice. But at the same time, I think it's important to try to realize that there's a family of believers and we want to treat each other right. And it's also important that you have a good attitude in your approach towards life. and you take responsibility and accountability for decisions you make, especially when it comes to buying precious metals. You want to be wise. You can't go out and get roped in by somebody and get ripped off. And then you're being forewarned if you're listening to this show. And that, I will tell you, is definitely the case. There's a lot more opportunities to make mistakes by shopping around, especially on the internet, than there is to come out ahead. I can tell you that. Points Plus goal is to offer Nordstrom's quality and service in Costco pricing and volume.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street in Spokane, Washington, at the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And now, back to True Wealth.
In the last half hour, I touched on the Hindenburg omen, the fact that despite the markets going up, the majority of stocks are actually going down. The market looks like it's going up because all they have to do is prop up a handful of stocks, those in the Dow, to make it look good. It's important to understand that the market will crash up. We have hyperinflation right now, folks. There is no way that we can be making trillions and trillions of dollars a year, increasing the world's dollar supply at a pace of $4 to $5 trillion a year and not have hyperinflation. There's a number of methods and techniques they use to hide that, but the bottom line is the spending power of your dollar is decomposing literally on a daily basis, but very literally on a year-by-year basis. They're not disclosing that to you properly. They're not going to let you know about that. And as a result, it's just slowly eroding in your hand. And it's important that you understand that. That is the point. Metals have volatility. They can be manipulated. And those things spook people and run away. But I'll tell you what. In the long run, what you're going to see is you're going to see the bubble of paper pop. And we've had some poundings on the market back around 9/11. That was all ideal, or that was intentional. And for a number of reasons, it was a severely critical crossroads in the history of the world. And I'm telling you, there's so much suspicious activity and unanswered questions around those events that it's one of the most significantly fishy events in the history of mankind. But we need to realize the world we live in today is not the world we lived in before 9/11. We've all seen our civil rights being stripped away methodically. I mean, we've got a runaway president who we don't understand his thought process. I'll tell you his thought process. He's a radical progressive at best, okay? He's an elitist. He's a nationalist. He's a fascist. He believes in unlimited power of government, and he especially believes in an unlimited level of power at the executive branch. He was recently shot down by the Supreme Court. The actual ruling written up by Sotomayor, which was one of his appointees, he tried to pass some laws that had to do with violating a citizen's civil rights and then keep the laws secret from the people. And now, over the last week, he's been taking the heat on his supposed recess appointments, which, when the Senate was not in recess, where they're gone for 3 days at a time. And the recess appointment clause in the Constitution was put there back in the day when people spread out across the country and weren't going to be back for 6 months. And it was made for times of necessity or emergency. But the bottom line is we've got a man who really wants to single-handedly convert a tremendous amount of power into the executive branch. Obama's a progressive, and starting with President Woodrow Wilson and culminating in Roosevelt's New Deal, progressives have sought to undermine the power of the legislature in favor of consolidating power in the executive branch. From railroading his sweeping health care reform bill on a party line vote, to the largest use of executive czars in the history of our nation, to initiating new policies on things like immigration, gun control, all by executive order, Obama seeks to leave 225 years of constitutional separation of powers behind him. This needs to be exposed for what it is. A series of constitutional end runs and a power grab by a frustrated and legacy-driven president. Progressives are comfortable now arguing that we trash the Constitution. CNN contributor Fareed Zakaria, who also writes for Newsweek and something else, he argued that the Constitution is outdated and its principles should be debated and fixed to conform with the modern era. He suggested that a set of amendments to modernize the Constitution for the 21st century ought to be added and many of the original amendments removed. They've made it look like politicians that are constitutionalists, the Tea Party, they make it look like people who like the Constitution have a mental illness. The editors of The Economist magazine wrote, "Indeed, there is something infantile in the belief of the Constitution worshipers that the complex political arguments of today can be settled by simple fidelity to a document written in the 18th century. They wrote, "When history is turned into scripture and men into deities, truth is the victim." These people want to throw the Constitution out. This last week when Obama was speaking, he said, "I've got a pen and I've got a phone, and I can use that pen to sign executive orders and take executive actions and administrative actions that move the ball forward. And I've got a phone that allows me to convene Americans from every walk of life, nonprofits, businesses, the private sector, universities, to try to bring more and more Americans together around what I think is the unifying theme, making sure that this is a country where if you work hard, you can make it." Now, that might sound good, okay, but it's not an individual liberty ploy there. What he's saying is it's the socialistic solidarity mentality. It's France. It's saying, if, you know, workers unite, I'm here with a pen and I'm going to make it happen. Everyone gets an income. Everyone gets enough money to get by. Now, folks, I have no opposition to people making a fair wage. In fact, I'm going to throw one at you that you're probably not used to hearing from a conservative. I don't have a problem with raising the minimum wage to like even 12 or 13 bucks. People are like, "Oh, that's crazy. It'll ruin this." No, here's what happens. I have a pretty strong education in economics, and this is my opinion. You raise the minimum wage, what happens? First of all, the cost of the goods of that business will rise, okay? No doubt. But what you're doing in that case, number one, you're assisting people who are working. That's a heck of a lot better than welfare. But what's more important, those people are going to spend that money in the economy. I argue that becomes a wash. Yes, the business owner is going to have more expenses and the price of his goods are going to go up, but it's ultimately felt across the board, industry to industry. Every fast food restaurant's going to have the same price increases, so it maintains fair competition. And if people go from $9 an hour to $12 an hour, that is going to put that much more money back into the economy. We're talking about people that spend every penny they make, okay? Now, I'm telling you, this is something that conservatives have stamped their foot on, and I think it's a little bit sad. Because the truth of the matter is, you can't make a living working at McDonald's. And people argue, well, you're not supposed to. Well, quite frankly, in this society, we've shipped half of our jobs overseas. There aren't a lot of good jobs around. And I truly believe that if somebody wants to work, I think they should be able to get by. I understand those jobs used to be reserved for high school students to get work experience and things like that. Well, the problem is there are no jobs. Life is getting tough. And so my opinion is, by all means, and even if I'm wrong, I know I'm not completely wrong, but let's just say hypothetically I am. At least we're helping people work rather than pouring money into welfare. Here's another argument. If we raise the minimum wage high enough, we can get a lot of people off welfare. There's all this earned income credit, folks. I don't know if you realize how this works. If a guy makes $10 an hour and he works 40 hours a week during the year and he makes $20,000, he gets like a $5,000 earned income credit back at the end of the year if he's got a family. That's just money he never earned. It goes right back in, because I'm not totally familiar with the logic behind earned income credit, but hypothetically, maybe it's saying, hey, if you're working full time, you need at least this much money to live at the poverty level, so we'll subsidize that. Now, I don't agree with that completely, et cetera, but folks, you know, you got to have a heart for these people that are trying to work and can't get by. We've got customers like that. I mean, these are just, they're working men, and not everybody's born with 160 IQ, and there's slots and places in this society for everybody. But any kind of program that's going to help a working man like that and encourage work and actually reduce the welfare rolls, I think makes sense. I obviously don't have any power or authority, so that ain't going to happen. But I think the ongoing resistance to the minimum wage is a little worse than people make it out to be.
True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is the premier precious metals dealer in the entire Northwest. Since 9/11, the U.S. dollar has lost over 50% of its spending power, while gold and silver have increased in value by over 300%. Numerous experts predict gold and silver to increase by 3 to 500% over the next 3 to 5 years. Whether buying, selling, or investing, Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. And now, back to True Wealth.
Progressives believe in a non-biblical utopia where the God of the Bible does not exist and the government and its people become our God. That's the problem. They believe it's their right to separate our wealth and control our behaviors. And the Judeo-Christian belief system says that man's greatest rights are bestowed by God, and those are the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, just as our Constitution and Declaration of Independence have preserved. And the three main things I discussed in the last half hour, the Founding Fathers have warned against: the greatest threats to this nation, the delusion of democracy, tyrannical governments, and centralized banking. And all three of these are a runaway train right now. I assume most of you are very familiar with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights are the first 10 amendments written in the Constitution that, again, can be changed, hopefully never are, but you've got progressives begging that they do, and there's a lot of liberal progressives that want to just chuck the Constitution out. That terrifies the heck out of me, and folks, that disease is spreading. More people are on the dole, over 50% now because of Obama. But they say with Obamacare, as many as 70% are going to be on the government dole. They're not giving Obamacare. They're pushing tons of people on Medicare and Medicaid. It's the Cloward and Piven strategy to snap the back of this government. Anyone who qualifies for any form of government assistance when they apply for Obamacare are automatically enrolled. They don't have the option to reject it or deny it. I saw a story recently of a guy who started getting checks, a retired man. He didn't want them, called the government, couldn't get them back. And there was they had no system to take the money back. So he just ends up having to give it to charity every month. But he doesn't want it, never signed up. But because he signed up for Obamacare, that's what happened. So the First Amendment gave us the freedom of religion, the press, and freedom of expression. The Fabianistic progressive movement, which is what Obama is literally infiltrated nearly every nook and cranny of journalism, adding their corrupted bias to every story they produce. In addition to our government outlawing certain kinds of hate speech, threatening speech, and so on, the media, especially the 24/7 sensationalism media, is literally devastating anybody who breaches these new societal norms of politically correct speech by speaking a biblical view on any topic. The recent topic is homosexuality. Before that, we pushed for children's rights. Before that, the attack was on anyone who defined or described any gender-specific differences between a man and a woman. All of this is to pave the way for the dark side to capture our children's minds and corrupt them. Children's rights is pushback to parents who would dare imply the schools or public establishment doesn't have a greater influence in their children's life than the parents do. The schools should encourage parental involvement and input. Instead, they imply that parents are unintelligent and don't get it, like the teachers and students do in this new modernistic thought process. The attack on gender differences was to cultivate the soil for the homosexual agenda. The First Amendment's protection of a free and unbiased press, you like that, unbiased? It empowered the press to move about where and when they needed without any government interference and gave them the right to report in an unbiased manner. The facts of government activities to keep the citizens apprised of our leaders' actions for good or bad. The First Amendment also provided for the freedom to practice our religion where, when, and how we chose. And obviously that's becoming an issue. Now they're saying that right does not apply on public ground, which is exactly where it should apply. The First Amendment is being attacked the hardest and the most vehemently, and it is by far the most important amendment to the United States Constitution that makes this country who we are. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, and this is for a well-regulated militia. What does that mean? The bottom line is, folks, every state was to be armed to protect themselves, but primarily against a tyrannical form of government. As people say over and over, the government is to fear the people, not the people fear the government. We have the right to bear arms. And when you listen to all this hoopla around there, it isn't to go hunting. Our founding fathers weren't trying to preserve a rifle so you could go shoot a deer and feed your family. They knew what guns were for. They had been through the tyranny during the American Revolution. They came on our soil. They tried to take things over. They found out quickly that men were more heavily armed than they expected, and they retreated. That's what it's for. And still, with the freedom and right to bear arms in this nation, it deters any other nation from ever trying to invade our soil. If you had to cover this country, I mean, there's some guns out there, folks, and I've got guns and I like guns. I love handguns. I love self-defense, tactical type weapons. And quite frankly, if you ever want to trade me on a personal basis, a quality, any quality self-defense or tactical weaponry for any kind of precious metals or coins or something I've got in stock, diamonds, whatever, I'm wide open to that. But the right to bear arms was specifically to threaten the government and keep them in check. The problem is, with a well-regulated militia, as our government has F-16s and Sherman tanks, the militia should have F-16s and Sherman tanks. The government has obviously severely out-armed us, but jumping ahead to the Fourth Amendment, now the Third Amendment is the quartering of soldiers, and that's not really important to what we see going on right now. The Fourth Amendment is the protection against illegal search and seizure. This amendment is trashed, okay? We know about the NSA. We live in an era of intellectual property. That's of value. Our founding fathers knew the value of intellectual property. That's why they provided for patent protection in the United States Constitution. That's pretty rare. That tells you how important it is. In fact, we are created in God's image. In His image, He created us. It says, what makes us in His image? I believe it's the ability to create, the ability to imagine. There's nothing you can really create without first imagining it, unless it's by accident, it trips and falls in your lap. But anything intentional created starts out in your mind. Now, when you add in the fact that all these drones, there's the DEA using drones now, the CIA is using drones, we know our government's using drones, they have all these rights. Anything that you do now through a doctor or any credit agency, your computer, your emails, at work, people store stuff on, quote, secure servers in the cloud and all this, none of that is protected under the Fourth Amendment anymore. The only things that are protected are physical property on your in your personal home or something. And almost everybody, everything everybody has now is stored in a computer hard drive somewhere. So the Fourth Amendment is gone, and this drone thing is coming up. I've discussed in the last half hour, going all the way back, that we seize people's property when they're accused of a drug crime. I am not a big fan of the drug war. The reason is, it doesn't mean I'm a proponent of drug use, but the reason is the fact that the entire drug war has been used to abuse about every civil liberty that we've ever had. It's radical. People think drugs are the most evil, immoral thing. We've got prisons overflowing with people that had a little bit too much marijuana in their possession. Obviously, now that they've legalized marijuana, it sounds a little bit crazy, but look around. I mean, did we go crazy? Is everybody running around smoking pot now? I'm not seeing it. I don't think that's the case. I know Bill O'Reilly on Fox News goes crazy over the legalized marijuana. He tries to show Washington State as having this really high level of DUIs. He says because they legalized marijuana. Well, that's not the case. Washington State's always had one of the highest per capita, or at least for the last few years, the highest per capita DUI arrests, because Washington State Patrol are brutal on it. The other thing that makes Washington unique is they have equipment that can measure the amount of THC in somebody's blood system, so they can tell if they've had marijuana in their system, which I think automatically qualifies you as driving under the influence, even though my understanding of marijuana is it's pretty unlikely to cause an accident. If anything, it slows people down and makes them kind of veg out. The other thing Bill O'Reilly harps on is the fact that the legalization of marijuana is somehow giving the message to kids that it's okay. It almost seems like when kids are told not to do something, they have a higher likelihood of doing it. Again, I'm not a big proponent of marijuana, but the drug war I hate. The country of Portugal legalized all drugs and got strict, harsh warnings from our government stating that they were going to be the scourge of the earth. They've cleaned up all their problems. They've got one of the cleanest crime-free societies on earth. And Portugal's actually approached addiction as a disease or a problem rather than a crime. You might think I'm radical to go along with that. I'm not like a big AA guy or anything like that. But the bottom line is, everybody's got their weakness. Everyone falls short. If someone has a propensity to want to numb a bunch of pain because they've been through a lot of painful times in their life, are they a criminal? I think our system might push addicts into crime. But in reality, if some of that stuff was easily more accessible, it would reduce a lot of the crime. And again, I know I'm offending some people with this, but folks, common sense. We've been brainwashed with this in our head our whole lives. Alcohol is much more dangerous than marijuana, and it's everywhere. We legislatively protect it. It's our drug of choice in this society. There's so many deaths and domestic problems from alcohol and automobile accidents. And I mean, I personally lean very heavily towards liberty in this nation, and I think we've lost that. And it's my hope that more people wake up and these preconceived ideas that have been planted in them since the childhood will begin to change, and that we can save so much time and money and effort and protect civil rights. And that's my biggest concern, folks, is that everything we do or say is now being monitored and controlled. Some people say, well, if you don't break the law, you have nothing to worry about. That's not the case at all. It's when they make a law that you break by being a good person or a Christian. We need to provide equal protection to all under the law, because one day the law may change and we're the ones that need that protection. Well, once again, thank you for tuning in. We'll get back to this next week. Take care. God bless. Have a terrific week.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.